Let your church say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Arzell. Thank you, Brother Powers. Thank you for all of those who participated in our worship service thus far, the prayers that were given. Thank you, Brother Alfred, for the introduction. Good to see you, my brother, again. Good to see all of you in the name of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be what? Be glad in it. Amen, amen. What a wonderful day. God is good, and we thank him for blessing us. He's held up most of the rain, and I didn't know it was going to get this cool out here, Brother John, but it feels good. I'm thankful. I'm honored to be standing before you this morning to proclaim a word from the Lord. I'm Gary Smith, the minister at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. I'm honored to be here with my brothers and sisters in Christ here at the Garden Oaks Church of Christ. And I want to lift you up for what you're doing here in this community, in the brotherhood. My dear brother in Christ, Brother John Tillman Jr., I go way back with a lot of you. Some of you know, some of you may not know, Brother John was my mentor as a young man getting out of college, coming back to the church and sitting on the bench. Brother John was the individual that was very instrumental in me getting off the bench and working for the Lord. And John, I'll be eternally grateful for what you have given to me in my life, your family, Sister Marcia, your children, who mean so much to me. John, thank you so much for touching my life. I could talk about it for a while. But those of you that are joining us today for worship service, those of you that are members of the body of Christ, those of you that are guests, our honored guests, our MVPs, if you will, that have come by way of invitation, whether you're live streaming or wherever you are, you're in your homes or out here in the cars. I know the cameras can't turn around and show all the cars that are in the parking lot. Some of you, the rain scared you away. That's all right. But hopefully you're sitting up. Some of you are still in your beds. Hopefully both eyes are open. You got your coffee. But this is a worship service. And we want to honor God. And so we know you might not be in a suit and tie. You might be still in your pajamas. But we're here to worship the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. This has been designated as all this month for the Garden Oaks Church of Christ March Madness. You know where John got that from. We're in the middle of a national basketball tournament for colleges, and the guys are playing, and boy, people come from literally all over the world, and they play in all parts of the country. It's going on right now. And folks spend their hard-earned money, stay at hotels, travel by plane, bus, cars, and go to March Madness to see a basketball game played. And sometimes they go and see just one game because their team lose right away. But that is for basketball. And this March Madness is not for basketball. It's for the Lord. Amen, somebody. And there'll not be more fanatical fans. There ought not be more fanatical fans for basketball than there are for the Lord. Amen, somebody? And that's what it's all about. And so I know you didn't have to spend too much to come here today. But we're here to worship our great God in heaven and tell the world and remind us that God is still on the throne. And he still is. You know, through all the things that have been going on, the pandemic and things that are going on, it's just causing us to be more creative. Amen. And you know, things will never go back to the same. They won't ever go back. Right now, we have more individuals who are watching this worship service right now than it would be watching it if we were live and had no pandemic. Amen, somebody? I know when we get the report after this is over, there will be thousands of individuals who will hear the word of the Lord. But see, God can make us move when we don't want to move. God can do things that we can only dream of. And I want to dive right in. I want to issue a challenge. You up to a challenge today? as we serve and worship our great God. And I have to sit down every now and then because I have a bad hip. So that's the only, I'm not lazy, I'm just sitting down because I can't stand too long. But I want to issue a challenge today. If you want to put a title to this lesson today, it's simply All In. Everybody say All In. All In. All In. I want you to, if you will, to go to your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Stay with me this morning. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? And then the apostle, he writes to the church, he says, run in such a way that you may win. Think win today. Think win. Not that we may lose, that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. So they do it to obtain a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not to run aimlessly. All in. Some of you know, I have three daughters, and when they were younger, they all played sports. I played sports, and, I didn't encourage them one way or another, but I said, if you want to play sports, you can't be asked that. If you're going to play, you have to dedicate yourself to what you're doing. And I remember going to one of the games, and one of my daughters was playing, and then they all played volleyball. And I was at that game, and my daughter's team got blew away. Just totally lost. And the girls were just laughing and tinking around. And when she got home, I said, what did the coach say to y'all after the game? She said, Dad, nothing. She didn't say anything. And went through the whole season, and that team, they didn't lose every game. They might as well have lost every game. And so I'm not from that vein. I grew up, competitively and was on some winning teams. And I'm like, okay, now, if I'm going to be going to all of these games and they're going to lose every game, something needs to change. I'm going to tell you something. I don't like losing. Winning is not everything. I understand what you're saying, winning is not everything. But if you're going to play the game, you might as well win, right? See, losing is no fun. And I was not one of those belligerent parents. I went to the coach after the season. I said, Coach, I said, now what can we do? What can I do as a parent to help the girls? What can I do for you to help? And she said, and she started making all these excuses about, well, the girls, the parents, we don't get parent support. And see, in volleyball, it's not what you do in season that helps you to win. It's what you do after the season, out of season. And a lot of the girls playing what's called club volleyball, and she said, well, the parents can't afford. I said, well, if you allow me to help the parents to get together and make it where we can have a club team and pay. She said, Miss Smith, if you can do that, that's fine. And so I got with the parents. I said, do y'all like coming to these games losing? And they said, oh, Miss Smith, oh, our girls are so pitiful, they're so bad. What can we do? And we got together, we put our little monies together, and we started a club. And they practice, and they practice, and they practice, and they practice. And you know what happened the next year? They went to the playoffs. The next year, they went to the playoffs. Oh, yeah. Oh, we were so happy. Can I give you some news? See, in life, and we're in this, the Apostle Paul, he equates life with a race. He says, they are running for a perishable prize. We're running for a prize that you can't put the value to it. He says, but now listen, in life, if you go run, you need to run to win. Listen, church, I want to challenge everybody this morning. Because see, I know the soldiers are here right now. The soldiers are even, why is it that we are sometimes
walking around leading defeated lives like we've already lost the game. Apostle Paul says, run in such a way that you might win. And so he goes on. I was thinking about a number of different things. You see, God wants us to win. But if we're going to win, we're going to have to do some overtime. Yeah, see, we're going to have to do some. There is something that we must do in order that we might win this race. And I want to issue a challenge. I want to say that, you know what? Many of us, and I'm starting with myself, sometimes I'm not running to win. Sometimes I take some days off. Sometimes I take some time off. See, in the investing world, there's a phrase, there's a word that many financial planners utter. Many of them use this, and they say, when you come bring your money to them, there's a word, diversification. We need to diversify your portfolio so you don't lose all your money. And it's a big word in financial. So when you take your money to them, they say, well, listen, we're going to diversify so you don't lose your 401k, you don't lose your money, and they diversify the plan. But if you take a closer look at the most successful investors, they don't say that. See, that was the time I swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. I used to be a financial planner at one time in my life, and I used to kind of say, see, the most successful investors like Warren Buffett and like the gentleman who wrote the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Mr. Kiyosaki, and Peter Lynch and some of the great investors. See, they don't say, they say this. They say that, well, one, I wrote a quote down. One says, wide diversification is only required when investors do not understand what they're doing. He says, financial planners, you know what they do with your money? You're not going to get rich with a financial planner. What they're trying to do is help you not to lose your money. They don't want you to risk all of it in one investment, because you put it all in one investment and you lose all your money. They want you to diversify, so one may be making money, the other may be not making money, so you end up almost breaking even. But the most successful investors would say this. Robert Kiyosaki would say, if you look at anyone who has achieved great success and wealth, they have all focused intensely. This is his quote, not mine. He says, intensely in order to win. Everybody say, all in. And we try to win, right? He says, rather than practice diversification, I encourage you to practice focus. That's what the successful investor says. You need to focus. Listen, in the religious world, see, there are some term that's used in the religious world. Words like pluralism. See, in the society we're living in right now, individuals who don't want to ruffle any feathers, and they use words, that there's a new word with the millennials, postmodernism. Both of these terms reject focus, reject unity, reject oneness. But I got news for you. See, in the religion, diversification has no place in God's plan. Amen. Not for himself and not for us. You want to know what God says? He puts it this way. In Exodus chapter 20 in the Old Testament in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. That's what God says. See, some people say everything is all right. You worship God your way. You worship God your way. You have this God. You have that God. That don't come from the one God. It comes from, God would say this, you shall not make yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water underneath. You shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a, I'm a jealous God. God wants us to focus on him and him alone. He would say, Jesus would put it this way in Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Some of us, I think, we're trying to serve two things. We're trying to serve God and we're trying to serve mammon. So God said, it does not work. Either you're going to love the one and hate the other, you will be devoted to the one and despise. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Lord, have mercy, help me, Jesus.
He put it this way in Matthew 22 and 37, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God. But notice this. We all in, right? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. God says he wants all of us. See, don't get disillusioned. Don't get discouraged. Okay, God is not trying to take our lives away from us. He's trying to give our lives back to us. Yes, and so, if we're going to be all in, we got to be all in. Amen, somebody? Yeah, in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27, listen to the Bible. Then Peter responded and said to Jesus, he's talking to Jesus, behold, Peter said, we've left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? See, now this is one of the apostles. And he's asking Jesus a question that some of you may be thinking right now in your mind. Well, Gary, if I give all to God, then what am I going to get in return? And I don't know about you, but I ask that question. Why do I give all my Sundays to the Lord? Amen, somebody. See, why do I come every Sunday? Why do I go to Wednesday night Bible class? Why do I pray? Lord, what am I going to get? That's a legitimate question, isn't it? Yeah, that's a legitimate question. And he asked it to Jesus. And so now, understand this now. He said, we've left everything. Now, one of the reasons why some folks don't give all to God is because we're holding on to everything. See. Now, this is personal. This is getting real personal. Now, I told y'all I'm going to issue you a challenge. What's your everything? What's your everything? See, don't exaggerate what God sees. Because, see, some people run from the Lord. The Apostle Peter, who asked that question, Peter left his job for the Lord. He left his business for the Lord. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. What are you willing to leave for the Lord? Now, notice, Peter was still married. Now, God is not telling us to go out and be a monk and go out on an island. God is not necessarily sending everyone on a mission trip to Ethiopia. But all of us have an everything. All of us have something that we are holding on to. We're putting our hope in, and it's taking us away from God. And I just got to ask the question, what is your everything? To all of us, it's not the same thing. And Peter said, I left my job, Jesus. I left it and I'm following you fully. And I got to ask yourself, I was searching this for myself because, see, some of us, we serve God very comfortably. You remember the rich young ruler? In Mark chapter 10 and verse 20, the Bible says, and he said to him, teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth. This is a rich man. And he asked him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, looking at him, he showed him love and said to him, one thing you lack. He says, go sell all you have. And Jesus knew right where to hit this. Is your everything, your M-O-N-E-Y? Oh, look. Now, you don't have to be broke to be a Christian. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But some folks, money is too much of your everything. You know why? Do you know why? Do you know why some husbands are not good fathers, are not good husbands, and wives, vice versa, the same? It's because we're holding on. We are so devoted to money. Money drives every ounce of our day. This rich young man, he had lots of money. And that money was causing him some pain. When Jesus said, see, he took it literally. When Jesus said, sell all you had, all he could think about was losing all of my money. Oh, but I finally got old enough, Brother John. I'm finally old enough to realize money ain't everything. Amen. Oh, no, just turn your TV on. All these folk with all this money, they got no house than they ever live in. Got so many cars, they can't drive them all. What's wrong? They're not happy. What's wrong? They don't have God. Oh, it's quite simple. Money is not the answer to all things. And then Solomon in the Old Testament, listen to a little Solomon. Lord, you got to hear this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible will say, I said to myself, this is Solomon, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. You know what I'm finding out, some folks, everything is pleasure. Jesus, we want to feel good. We want to feel good all the time. Amen, somebody. We want everything good. If it don't feel good, if it don't tingle me, and Solomon said this, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. This is what he said to himself. And he had the money to do it. He said, and behold, it too was futility. Solomon said, I came to realize that, no, the mercy wasn't satisfying me. I said, of laughter. It is senseless. He said, Solomon says, I went to the comedy shop. I went to the comedy show. And I had my jokes to just tell jokes all day. And I loved to laugh. And after I got through laughing, I didn't have anything. He says, I told my body, what does it accomplish? I explored my mind, how to refresh my body with wine. Hello, somebody. While my mind was guiding me wisely. He says, I drank all the best wine. And I still was in control of my senses. Y'all can't do that now. See, I still was in control of all my senses. I drank wine. He said, I explored my mind to refresh it. And how to cease, he said, and how to cease foolishness until I could see what good there is for the sons of mankind to do under heaven for the few years of their life. He said, I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves. I had slaves born at home. I also possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. I also amassed for myself silver and gold and the treasures of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and pleasures of the sons of mankind, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood with me. Solomon said, I had all this stuff, and I was the smartest man in the room. Everywhere I went, I knew things. I knew the name of trees and plants and gardens. I had folk to come and just sing to me all day long. Oh, Lord, some of us are thinking right now, oh, boy, if I can have that, I would be all right. No, you would not. Because after you got it, you'd be seeking something. If you're seeking pleasure, Lord have mercy, you'll find out pleasure will be soon gone. It's good for a season. What's going to happen? What's going to happen when you have to go to the doctor and the doctor tell you you're getting old? When the doctor tell you you're going to take these pills? Yeah, soon the foods that you can buy, you won't even be able to eat. Solomon got to that point in his life. He said this, all my eyes desire, I did not refuse them. I did not restrain my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Solomon said, I work and I reward myself. I said, if I work, this is going to be my reward. Some of us think that way, but yeah, I work hard for my money. And I'm going to enjoy my money. I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to spend it. I'm going to do what I want to do. And nobody leave me alone. And Solomon got to that point. Then he said, so I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, Solomon said this. And you know, the Bible calls Solomon the wisest person that has ever lived. Besides Jesus Christ, every man man before him or after him. The Bible calls him the wisest man. So I think we need to listen to this man. As the Holy Spirit moves him, he says, all was futility, all was vain, all was worthless. He says, and striving after the wind. And there was no benefit under the sun. So you can chase it if you want. And some of us are chasing it with all of our might. And we too will come to the same conclusion that wise Solomon came to.
And Lord have mercy, you don't know why the Lord takes us to take us through some things. And I'm just so happy the Lord has allowed me to live this long to stop chasing after the wind. We're trying to find that peace. We're trying to find that solace. We're trying to find that time when things are going to be just right. Well, guess what? On this side, it ain't going to be all just right. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, so, brother, why do I need to go all in? Well, see, you need to go all in because the rewards that God has, are for those that go all in. I'm gonna go back to Peter and Jesus answers Peter's question in Matthew chapter 19. He says, and Jesus said to him, this is what Jesus said to Peter, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, notice it's in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12. Now, he speaks specifically to Peter and the apostles, because they most scholars would agree that all of the apostles were martyred in some kind of way. They had cruel deaths, and they did give it all to Jesus. They followed him to the end. And after Jesus died and rose from the grave and he went on the cross, they completed his mission of preaching the gospel to the whole world. And Jesus says, you left everything. He says, but when I come back in the regeneration, he says, you 12 are going to be sitting on thrones. You're going to judge the world. Now that was to them. But right there, what's in it for us? Just this whole time. He goes on to say, in verse 29, and everyone, wait a minute. He says, everybody say everyone. Did not notice this now. Notice this. This is to all the Christians, to all those who named the name of Christ, to all those who've left everything. Say, listen, you can still be married and follow the Lord. You can still, some of the, it sounds like I can't have no fun. Listen now, God is not saying you can't go on vacation. It's that when you go on vacation, you got to take God with you, amen, somebody. Hold on, now notice it. No, we're not, you don't have to be a monk. You don't have to be a missionary. You still have to be a parent. But you're a parent who bring your children up in the Lord, amen. We don't have to stop working on our job, but you take God on your job. You do it, you stay off. You see, we're not, the day is Sunday. Some of us, we look so forward to Sundays. And I do, I'm going to just tell you, I look Sundays is our pep rally to the Lord. It's how we praise him, it's how we thank him for all his goodness and his mercy, amen, somebody. But God is not looking for just a Sunday Christian. Amen, somebody. God wants us to be a child of God every single day. See, God wants us to be a child of God when we go to work. Lord have mercy. God wants us to not just pray on Sundays. God wants us to pray at home. Amen, somebody. He wants us all in. When you sit down at the table, thank the Lord for your food, not just on Sundays, amen. God wants us all in. God wants us when we go on vacation. Some of us, oh, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to turn it loose. God don't want you to turn it loose. God wants you to stay with him every day, somebody. See, God, you can be an athlete.
You can be a football player, a basketball player. You can play in the band, but take God with you everywhere you go. God wants us to be all in. See, some of us, we allow our athletics to take us. Oh, I can't go to church because I got a game. I can't come to Bible class because I remember when my daughters were playing volleyball and they were on these club teams and the coaches said, well, Ms. Smith, the girls need to be, we got a game. So I say, they will be there at the church. Amen, somebody. I say and when they had the club practice, a lot of folks take the Lord's day and they say, this is my day. But for those of us now there have been times that we have left the Lord's house and gone to a game. There have been times that we've had to make some adjustments, but when you're all in, you're all in. I've had individuals ask me, some of our parents, even at the Lord's church, how did your girls participate? They want you to do everything. I said, one of the young men, he's so good at what he's doing. I said, you know what? You need to be a coach yourself. And you set the schedule. Amen, somebody. You set the times that you practice. See, when you go all in, you're going to think of a way to be all in. Amen, somebody. See, God wants us, and without a doubt, if we're going to get this reward that we're after, see, there's a price to win. There's a price to pay to win. See, winners don't just win on their own. And when Paul told, he says, when you're running in this race, you got to run in such a way that you're going to win. I remember, I can tell you so many examples. I remember when I went to, I went to SMU and I played football. And I remember when we went there the first year, we won a few games, we lost. One year we came in, this was right when we came in before training camp. And we had an excellent coach at the time. He said, gentlemen, this is what I want. I had the whole team in front of him. And he says, what is our goal? And everybody in the room said, we want to win the championship. Okay. He says, this is what I need everybody in here to do. He says, write down 16. Remember, he wrote 16 on the board behind, 1 and a 6. He said, gentlemen, we have 16 weeks. 16 weeks. That we have 12 games, and I want you to give to each other and give to us and give to the whole team your full dedication. I want you to make the sacrifice. I want you to eat all the meals. Don't miss any practices. Don't be late to practices. Write all your goal sheets. Never miss none of your assignments. And I want you to give us fully, everybody, 16 weeks of dedication. I don't want you to miss curfew. And he said that in that room, everybody was quiet as a mouse. And he says, will we do it? The captain stood up. We can, coach. Everybody stood up. We will, coach. We will do it. But when we got to doing it, when we got to implementing it, I remember my roommates, we were like, man, Coach Sears. And we said, well, if that's what it takes, that's what we're going to do. And I never forget all of that. We were holding each other accountable for what we were doing. And for 16 weeks, when we got to the last game, we had a season, and we were to play in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas, in the Cotton Bowl. And our record, we lost no games. We tied one game, and we were about to play in the Cotton Bowl. And when we got to the locker room, my coach came in. He said, gentlemen, do you remember the beginning of this year? He says, we were in the 17th week. He said, we are in the last game of the year. And we still have business to finish. And you have done what we asked. And you have sacrificed what we asked. And gentlemen, our dream is about to come true. Our Lord have mercy. And see, I have issued you to challenge him. I'm about to eat. I have issued you to challenge him. See, this is just a pep talk. And we won the Cotton Bowl. I have the ring. I got my jersey. We got trophies. And I cannot tell you the feeling when you dedicate yourself. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it. See, we got to do this one together. You need some help. You dedicate yourself and you accomplish a goal that you set after you've given your all to it. And so I'm still reaping benefits. You know, they call us up to the school, come give us. I don't go to everything. And that is like the Apostle Paul said, that's for a perishable wreath. It's for accolades from somebody else. And at this point in my life, John, I could almost care less. I mean, I'm glad I did it. It was a great lesson, but that's not what I'm after right now. Amen, somebody. But I can attest to this. We're not going to accidentally win. It's not going to happen. Have you tried? I tried to accidentally be spiritual. I tried. It don't work. You can't serve. You're going to hurt yourself trying to serve the devil and God at the same time. And the true benefits of being a child of God only come when we are in. Oh, we're going to make some mistakes. We're going to fall. We're going to trip up. We're going to need encouragement. But those who are all in always come back to the center. I got to get back in the game. And so my challenge is this as I close. Today is the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. I believe God designed it that way. God is so amazing. I love it. God is so amazing. He created time and he gives us 60 minutes in an hour. 24 hours in a day, and 30 days in a month, most of them, 30 days, and 365 days in a year, and he gives us four seasons, and he gives us all these cycles. It's like God is, he's okay, he gives us a start over time, all these things, we there's a beginning, there's an end, today is the first day of the weekend. I want you to begin a challenge of being all in. You've already started the challenge. We're worshiping God on the Lord's Day. This is the Lord. Don't you feel the Spirit of God in here? Where two or three are gathered right in his name. We're worshiping. This is the beginning. This is the start. This is our pep talk when we began our season in 1983. This is our pep talk. And the challenge was issued on that day. Oh, but Monday's coming. Tomorrow's coming. Tomorrow, see, the devil get me. When we leave here, the devil go, oh, that was a good sermon here, but I got things to do. And it's almost like we forget what our commitment was. See, what's the first thing when we all in as Christian? What's the first thing we do when our feet hit the ground in the morning? The first thing we ought to do is say, well, thank you, Lord. You get it first. Oh, born again. I tell you what, your day will be a lot better if you just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Your children might think there's something wrong with you. But they need to hear you say it at all. When you sit at the dinner table, I don't know about you, but you know, as I grew up, we ate at the dinner table. It changed in my house that we eat when we can, when we can. But you should stop every time you take a bite of anything. What all we ought to say? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Where the food come from? Thank you, Lord. If those of you that are working when you go to work, you don't have to stand on the table and say, hallelujah, I'm a Christian, but speak to folk. Amen, somebody. Smile. Be a light wherever you go. Again, that ain't my personality. When you talking to somebody, be a light where you go. Stop using those same sad excuses where I just want to be to myself. God didn't make you just to be to yourself. We're the light of the world. Somebody died on your job, say, listen, I'm sorry to hear. I don't even know them. You don't have to know them. Be a light wherever you go on Monday. Be a light all of this week. Be self-conscious. If somebody needs some help, help them. Be all in. Be a light wherever you're going. If you're going on vacation, take the Lord with you. Don't leave him at home. Listen, today is the first day of the week. You work and you get a paycheck at the end of the week. Do you know how much you get? You're made? What purpose in your heart? What you going to give to the God? You go ahead and do that, right? You can do that today. Purpose in my heart. Why? Because that's what God wants us to do when we all in. We give to, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything you chasing after, God going to give it to you. And I want you to be conscious of being, to feel like emotionally and spiritually what it feels like to be all in every day. And I promise you on Saturday evening, on Saturday afternoon, your mind is going to be on, Lord, I'm ready to praise you. On tomorrow, I praise you today, but I'm prepared. You're not going to be all out all night seeing to everybody else's needs and giving God our leftovers on the Lord's day because I am all in.
It's gonna help us. It's gonna help us to be a better husband. Lord, when you're all in, you're not gonna talk to your wife any kind of way. Help me, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, if I've been talking bad, talking nasty to my wife, because my wife is an extension of me, and we're one in you. Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me to curb. If you're a wife, you're gonna learn how to respect that man. When you're all in, everything we do, everything we think about is, Lord, are you pleased with what I am doing? Because he said, and let me read this. He said this, I don't want you to miss your reward. I don't want you to miss your reward. And everyone who's left houses, our brothers, our sisters, our father, God is not telling you to denounce him. The Bible tells us to honor our father. But sometimes, if mama don't want to follow God, if daddy don't want to follow Jesus, guess what? We're going to love them, we're going to honor them, but we're not going to let them stop us from following Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, our children, some of us, you know what's going to happen to some of us? Some of us, we give our children, yeah, I love my, everybody love, don't we all love our children? But can I say this to you in love, all the love I have? Can I say this to you in all the love you have? Some of you that have children that's still at home, some of you that have children as teenagers, now I'm past that point. All my children are quote unquote grown, but still they need stuff from every now and then. but can I say this to you in all the love I have? You give your children everything you got. But don't let your children take you to hell. Maybe I should say that a little bit nice. I'm going to tell you what your children will do to you, too, if you don't look out. If you don't teach them how to be grateful, your children get old enough and they find somebody else that they love more than you, you won't even see your children anymore. Don't let your children keep your relationship with God at bay. He says this, our forms on account of my name will receive many times as much. What am I gonna get, brother Lord? I don't know. God says you're gonna receive many times as much. What is it? Money? I don't know. Many times as much, but I know this one specifically. And he goes on to say, and you're gonna receive eternal life. But you gotta be all in. You're here today. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me for going too long, Brother John. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you need to be. I know most of you that are watching right now, you Christians, you saints. I grew up in the Lord. Al was talking about, we grew up, we were kids. I got baptized, Brother Al, when I was 9 years old. I remember it like it was yesterday, but I think I knew what I was doing,
I've had some bumps in the road along the way, but I can truly say the Christ-lived life is the best life you can live. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it is. And see, so you need to be a child of God, because that is where all of our blessings. You know, the Bible says you're going to receive many times. And I think about, I said, Lord Jesus, you've been so good to me. Some of my friends who chose different paths, oh, my goodness, every now and then I run into some. Every now and then I look on Facebook and some of them have died. I say, thank the Lord, I'm still around. I look at some of them, I'm 61, they look like they're 95 years old. I'm just saying. I know I was not perfect, but the scripture says I'll see. And you need to be a child of God. You need to obey the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he is coming again one day to claim all of his children. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell your neighbor to accept, unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. This is your invitation for those of you that are guests, those of you that are on the fence, those of you that have named the name of Christ. You be baptized, confess his name, you be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all your sins. God adds you to his church, God adds you to his family, God adds you to the place where all of his blessings are. And if you hear you're a child of God, which most of you, I believe, are watching right now, you Christians. But Lord, you know, life is too short. Life is too short for us to miss our reward. Let's stop half doing it. Let's give him our all. Let's get our blessings, the blessings that God wants to give us. And you can respond as Brother Arzell comes and leads us in the invitation song. Brother Arzell, God bless you. Love you, God.